You're listening to KDNK's Public Affairs Program for Land's Sake. I'm Bill Kite, your host. Today our guest is Morgan Hill, President of the Middle Colorado Watershed Council Board of Directors. Welcome to For Land's Sake, Morgan. Are you there?
I am here. Thanks so much.
Oh, you bet. Thanks for being on the show today. We've had you on once before, and we're going to try to talk to you about some upcoming important things that people are going to want to know about. So I guess the first thing to ask is, your motto says protecting and enhancing the health of your watershed. And the mission is to evaluate, protect, and enhance the health of the Middle Colorado River watershed through the cooperative effort of watershed stakeholders. Can you translate what that means?
Sure. The Middle Colorado has been an active part of all these aspects of our mission since we incorporated as a nonprofit at the end of 2013. And some of these major projects, when we talk about evaluating the health of the watershed, we did a water quality assessment that looked at surface water quality that was completed several years ago. We are an active part of a River Watch program where we work with a couple local schools and students and citizen groups who are conducting sampling through River Watch. And we also do some of our protection and enhancement projects through, we've done some stream bank restoration. We have planted cottonwood seedlings and willow seedlings. We do a river cleanup every year where we clean up a variety of parks and corridors of the river, and have also been part of some fish passage projects, just to name a few. We've got a lot of great stuff going on. Another major project we're working on right now is called an Integrated Water Management Plan, which is a huge project, multi-year effort involving a lot of stakeholders to identify some of the major gaps that could be coming up in our future of water and prioritize how we can be meeting all water users' needs along our stretch of the Middle Colorado River. And I should also say, too, that the Middle Colorado, when we talk about that stretch of the river, essentially our boundary is from Glenwood to DeBeck, or the head of Glenwood Canyon to the head of DeBeck Canyon, and all of the tributaries that flow into that, except for the Roaring Fork River, because that area is, that stretch of the Roaring Fork River is covered by the Roaring Fork Conservancy, which is a really robust and great organization, and we consider them a sister organization and really a partner on watershed protection in our area.
Right, yeah, they do a good job, don't they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we really enjoy working with them.
You know, you have 7 goals on your website, and I encourage anyone who's listening to go to their website. It's a good website. It tells you a lot about their organization. But you have 7 goals, and do you have those before you? Have you memorized those, Morgan? Or
I do have them in front of me, yes.
Okay. All right, so do I. So which one would you like to talk about that you really want to emphasize today?
Sure. Well, one thing you really wanted to talk about today is to promote our film festival that's coming up in a few months. But I can also talk about a few other things really related to some major education projects that we are working on in the community.
Yeah, let's do that first, and then we'll save the film festival till later and whet people's appetite a little bit.
Perfect, yeah. So we are working on an interpretive center, we call it, that's down in Rifle. And the name that we've decided on is River Stop, Colorado River Discovery Center. And we called it River Stop because it's actually at the Rifle Rest Stop. And so we knew that people who were passing through would be wanting to meander through our river center and check it out, our Discovery Center. And it's going to be – it's actually in the old Rifle Chamber of Commerce building. So we're partnering with the city of Rifle on this project as well as a lot of other partners. But it's located on – or the building is we're leasing it from the city. And this Discovery Center is going to feature a lot of really cool interactive exhibits that we know will be interesting for kids. We hope to bring a lot of students of all levels at to the center, and it's right there on Lions at Lions Park Pond. So we're actually working with Colorado Parks and Wildlife to do some educational and fun programming, working with kids on fishing and talking to them about bird species. So it's got a lot of really added value to the rifle community and really our community as a whole. We don't have any type of river center or discovery center educational opportunities like this. Essentially, between like Glenwood and Grand Junction, or even a broader area than that. So we hope to open that center in early May.
May the 2nd, I think you had on your website, didn't you? Okay.
Yep. So that's what we're aiming for our opening. And we'll be rolling out lots of details on that and promoting it to our mailing list and to the community to get them excited about joining us for that opening. And checking out the center.
Yeah, I remember a couple of years ago, I think, talking to Lori about it, and I'm glad it's come to fruition. It sounds like a really exciting place for especially kids and families to go to once you open.
Yes, absolutely. We're working with an interpretive designer and a number of other construction contractors on that project, and we've all been just really excited to see the designs and displays and exhibits that he's coming up with, the interpretive designer.
All right, that sounds really like a lot of fun.
Yeah, and I think some of our other goals that I'm visiting here really tie back into that integrated water management plan that we are working on. We've got promote smart, efficient water use and conservation, create partnerships and collaboration among stakeholders, which are two of really that create partnerships and collaboration among stakeholders is really one of our major goals and is part of the mission statement that we were just talking about. And we really feel like that's one of the niches that our organization fills, is that connection between all partners and stakeholders and bringing together government entities of all levels, local, state, federal, and as well as other water users. We have agricultural representation as part of this integrated water management planning process, municipalities that provide drinking water and treat wastewater, and other industries in the area. So we're really trying to engage a lot of different groups through this process and through other projects that we work on, with that focus on collaboration and meeting everyone's needs.
Well, we all know that there's not enough water to go around in the Colorado, so I imagine that it's difficult to promote smart, efficient water use and conservation. So how do you plan on doing that with the average citizen?
Right. That is a great question. And certainly one of the things that we've talked about in this integrated water management planning process, as well as just our efforts as an organization, is working on engaging citizens in water conservation. And I think that that's going to be a big priority, as well as working with different entities on where they can conserve water, and where we also can promote smart growth, certainly engaging land use and other partners in where it's about conservation, and it's also about how we can just be smart with our water uses and needs around the community.
And even in our own household, there are actually toilets you can buy that do that. Some of the older ones use up a lot of water, and people, I don't think, realize that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And xeriscaping would help in our country. There's no reason for, I think, everybody in the world to have a green lawn that they have to water all the time.
Sure, yeah, all great strategies to be reducing water consumption in our own homes. And we also actually are working on, kind of tied back to another one of our goals, which is protect and enhance water quality, is a stormwater management education program that we're working on. That it's called the Keep It Clean Partnership, which is really a statewide effort to encourage people to conduct practices in their home that reduce runoff that can eventually make its way into our groundwater and streams and rivers. Things like, you know, if you don't change your oil in your driveway and let the oil run down the drain, following directions when it comes to using pesticides and fertilizers on lawns if you have a lawn. So there's definitely things that individual citizens can do to make a difference. And then we work with some of the larger water users in the community, and like I said, those water entities, agriculture, industry, and all those different sectors, so we can be meeting our community's needs. And it is, it's certainly part of the discussion how we fit into just that larger question of, or larger discussion of water in the West and how the Colorado River is used all the way from its headwaters up near Kremling and Rocky Mountain National Park all the way down to California and Mexico. So we aren't focusing too much on that larger national component, more what we are doing within our own community, but it's certainly a consideration.
And we all need to do our part, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
You're listening to KD&K's Public Affairs program for Land's Sake. I'm your host, Bill Kite, and today we're talking with Morgan Hill of the Middle Colorado Watershed Council. Now we're going to get to the fun stuff here. Education is an important part of your work, and I quote from some of your material, to increase knowledge, awareness, and understanding to promote balanced stewardship in our watershed. And one way you do this is through your Wild and Scenic Film Festival, which is going to be April 2nd and 4th, I believe, in Glenwood Springs and Rifle. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Absolutely. Yeah, so we have two showings of the Wild and Scenic Film Festival. And the Wild and Scenic is a national film festival that provides about 100 films each year for us to choose from that best fit our mission. And they procure those films, and we, again, select the films that we feel like are the best fit for us. And we have set, like you said, April 2nd in Glenwood Springs. That's going to be at the Vaudeville Theater, and doors will open at 6, show starts at 7. And then we have our show April 4th at the Ute Theater in Rifle, and that's Thursday, April 2nd, and Saturday, April 4th. And at both of those shows, we will have beverages available. The Vaudeville, if anyone's attended other shows at the Vaudeville, there's always food and drink that can be purchased before the show starts or during the show, and that will be available at our film festival. And then the Ute Theater does provide beverages and has a bar that they will be opening during our event there as well.
I remember going, was it last year or the year before when I went? I can't remember when Kate helped you
guys.
Yeah,
she, I think, was our coordinator 2 years ago.
I think, yeah, it was two mm-hmm. years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I really enjoyed it. There were some great films that you guys had. And that would be tough trying to decide which films to show.
Sure.
I would think.
Yeah, so a lot of what our board, a lot of our board members, I should say, are really active and engaged in a lot of our projects. We certainly have right now in this stage of our organization are a working board, which means that everyone who is involved is super active, is engaging people that they know, they're connected in their community, which we. Going back to talking about our river cleanup this last fall, it led to one of our best turnouts we've ever had.
Oh, great.
We picked up a lot of trash, and I think it's because we had such a good committee and team that was engaging people and businesses in the community. And we expect that's going to happen this year for the film festival. But our Outreach and Education Committee is the main group that plans this film fest. And we had our viewing party actually just this last weekend where we were selecting our films for the lineup, which is a lot of fun. And it is, like you said, tough to pick which films because a lot of times the Wild and Scenic does offer a lot of great films that are both fun to watch and consistent with our mission and what we want to share with our community as far as films go. So it's a treat every year to pick the films, and we get excited to show them to the community.
Well, I appreciate the Vaudeville in Glenwood Springs. They do a lot of events for folks like you and other nonprofits, and so hats off to them for doing mm-hmm. this. And the Ute, too. The Ute's a great venue to go to no matter what the occasion is.
Yeah, we really appreciate their participation with this. And we actually, last year sold out, I think every year but one, we've sold out at the Glenwood Vaudeville. So if we've got tickets available on our website already. So if you're interested in that showing, don't hesitate to go in and get your spots, because again, we probably will sell out at that venue. But if you can't make the vaudeville, the Ute usually doesn't quite sell out, so there's typically some spots available even the night of. Tickets are $15 in advance and $20 at the door.
So, do you hear that, Carbondale? In case you miss out in Glenwood Springs, you can go to the Ute, but I would recommend you go ahead and buy your tickets now, it sounds like to me.
Yep, it's always good to get them early. And the Vaudeville is a great venue. We have both locations have, really nice setup with the projector and screen. But the Vaudeville, we had a pretty full event at the Vaudeville last year, too. So good turnout from both the rifle community and Glenwood and everywhere in between. So
yeah, sorry I missed that one last year. I'm going to be sure I don't miss one of these this year.
Yeah,
it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, we'll hope to see you there.
Let me ask you, what partnerships and collaborations are you doing right now that come to mind?
Yeah. Are you talking about the film festival specifically or just in general with the
Watershed
Council?
Just in general with the Watershed Council, what projects you're doing and that might be coming up.
Sure. Well, like I said, this probably two of our biggest projects are the Integrated Water Management Plan, and that is hugely collaborative. And anyone who's listening to this show right now who has a stake in water use, which is really all of us, we all drink water, we recreate on water, if that's in the form of snow or rivers, to get engaged in this kind of planning process. And we're certainly open to community input and to be watching for when the plan comes out. We'll have an executive summary, of course, that is easily read and viewed. And then again, the River Center, or River Stop, Colorado River Discovery Center, is going to be a great community tool and something that we are certainly putting a lot of effort into. My fellow board member, Doug Winter, has been really giving a lot of oversight to that project and engaging with the City of Rifle, with Colorado Parks and Wildlife, and actually Colorado Mesa University has had a pretty big role as well in contributing content in reviewing our exhibits, because it certainly has been a lot of writing for the team that's working on that project as well. So those are our major projects, but we also have, like I think I might have mentioned, a fish passage project. So there are two of those that we are working with the Bureau of Land Management on that are south of Silt. One of them is a King Heatherly diversion. So it's a ditch diversion that needs to be upgraded anyway. It's aging and needs some improvements. And so we are serving as a project management role for that fish passage project, that when the diversion is upgraded, we'll have infrastructure that allows fish to move up and down the stream as opposed to being restricted and unable to move up and down because of the diversion. So it's going to be a great project for the landowner, for the ditch owners, as well as aquatic life. And we get to partner with a federal agency and be a really nimble, boots-on-the-ground kind of nonprofit, which is what we really like. We have planning, we have education, and then a big part of our work, too, is the tangible projects that we accomplish. And another thing we've done in the last year that we'll look forward to doing some more of in the coming year is partnering with local landowners, as well as municipalities like the town of Silt we worked with on some of these stream bank restoration projects. So we did stabilization from some erosion because we had a really big runoff year last year, as well as we do some partnership with like Garfield County Vegetation Management on tamarisk and Russian olive in these restoration projects. So a lot of really active things, as well as some of the planning efforts. And then also, the plans really are intended to produce projects, and that's really something that the Integrated Water Management Plan is doing. We also, another project I just thought of, is a recreation map, a river recreation map of the Middle Colorado water region. So we got a grant for that, and that was a project that was identified in the Integrated Water Management Plan. But I always feel like with planning processes that you don't have to wait for the plan to be done to start doing the work. And so we're already in progress with this river recreation map that we will be distributing around the community, because we recognize that that was a gap that needed to be filled.
I've not been on a river cleanup in some time. And so if you had a tough customer you're trying to talk into going on a river cleanup, tell me a little bit about what that involves and how you're going to snag someone to help you do that.
Sure. We had such a good turnout at our cleanup this last year. And one thing that was really fun about it is that it was so diverse as far as people who were there. And a lot of that was because of our outreach methods. Every time that we went and asked for a sponsorship or donation, we would talk to that business about sending their staff and putting up posters in their employee lounges and work areas. And that led to a number of people showing up from different restaurants and businesses. We also had Encore Electric sent, I think, about 20 people as part of their volunteer day. And then we had folks coming from all areas around Western Colorado who say, you know, I really love fishing that stretch of the Colorado River, and I want to work to clean it up. Or people, since we had it in Silt this year, we had Silt residents who showed up and were just really excited to clean up parks that they play in and walk their dogs and use a river ramp. So I would say just identifying really how, if you're a tough sell, identifying how you use the river and how cleaning it up and doing restoration projects can benefit you and the entire community that you work in. And, you know, we have our river cleanup, the Middle Colorado, that is sponsored by Alpine Bank. So we actually call it the Alpine Bank. This year we called it a river restoration, hosted by the Middle Colorado Watershed Council. This year we had it in Silt. A lot of times we have it in Rifle. But there are other great cleanup projects all around the community that are put on by the Glenwood Springs River Commission. They have one in August usually. The Roaring Fork Conservancy does river cleanups further up valley. So lots of opportunities to get engaged. Of course, we would love for folks to show up to our event, but whichever stretch of river is your stretch of river, you know, there's opportunities to work there.
Right. So I'm sure you have a lot of partners that, you know, here at the Historic Society, where I'm the executive director, we have what we call a History Hero Awards for people that really help us out. Give me an example of one of your partners that really is intensely involved in your organization.
Sure. You know, I will say we actually have had a lot of really great support from the Colorado River District. They have sent a lot of staff to our events. They've helped us plan. We host a State of the River event. We partner with them on that. That's usually in May as well. And we have had a lot of meetings in their office space, so they support us there. Chris Treese, who recently retired and worked for the River District, has just been always an advocate for our organization and willing to support us in a lot of ways. So I think that they have been a huge part of the formation of our group. They financially supported us in the past as well. But we definitely view them as a really significant partner. But we have funding support from most local governments along our stretch of river. Garfield County financially supports the Watershed Council, City of Glenwood Springs, most of the communities, and City of Rifle is a huge partner of ours as well with this River Stop Center that we're building. So I think we have a lot of great partners, but those are probably some of the ones that I would think of as well. We get a lot of grant support from state organizations that we certainly view as partners. The Colorado River Conservation Board is funding our interpretive center. So, yeah, and then our board members, too. I view them as partners. They are, like I said, really stepping up and doing a lot of great work right now.
So if, you know, there are a lot of retired people around that would like to help out, and the next minute and a half, would you like to tell us how people can become involved?
Absolutely. So probably the first step is to go to our website and sign up for our mailing list, and that will get you connected to all of the different events that we host throughout the year, such as our river cleanup, but as well the board is talking about how we can engage some of our more active volunteers and folks who would like to become, volunteer in more than just showing up at the river cleanup. And certainly if someone is interested in hosting a river watch site, we would love to have some community partners for that. Most of our committees, our outreach and education committee, we have a technical advisory committee that I will say is not very active right now, but it's kind of still a group that we would reach out to as needed. So if someone wants to participate in that, and I think just signing up and reaching out. And we are actively working on how we can continue to engage our volunteers. I think people who are in the rifle silt parachute area would be great to volunteer at our river center, our river stop as well.
Well, thanks a lot, Morgan. I really appreciate you being with us today, and thanks for coming on the show.
Sure. And our website is midcowatershed.org.
All right. You've been listening to Katie and Kay's program, For Land's Sake. Tune in next time.